Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
But you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? The world running on EVs and renewable energy? Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, an Odyssey sports station, always live on the free Odyssey app, Twitch, and YouTube. Powered by First NorCal Credit Union for a low-rate auto loan. Apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer. Alongside the former NFL football star Lorenzo Neal, this is Dan DeBone. We've got you for the next couple of hours as the 49ers get ready for the Buffalo Bills. By the way, can I share with the rest of the people how...
Yes, absolutely.
How excited you are?
I was shaking. I was nervous, man. I was nervous.
So your Kansas City Chiefs are still alive, and you're in line to maybe buy me dinner for the next month.
Absolutely. I'm in a pool where there's like 500 people, and everyone they're buying was $300. And so I'm still here. And it's a lot of people were out last week. A lot of people went out because they all took... the Commanders last week in Dallas beat them. So 50% of everyone in the pool was on the Commanders last week. So I'm feeling good. Feeling good. I survived.
You know, we're waiting on our guest who's coming up. It's Matt Lively, your partner.
Yes, absolutely.
He's from KPIX, CBS.
Yep.
Yes. I didn't know you were doing television, of course. I cut my teeth. Why don't you tell me, man? Well, I can give you some pointers.
I know. Like. Well, you know, I got a face for radio, so I didn't think I was going to, you know, you got a face for TV, so I'm more face for radio. So, brother, I didn't want to toot my own horn.
But tomorrow, you've got what, the pregame on Sunday?
Sunday. Yep. All right, we do a postgame.
Matt Lively is going to join us. Matt Lively, of course.
He travels, he goes to every away game. And he's with KPIX, great guy, great insider. Can't wait to hear what he thinks about this game.
Yeah, we'll talk to Matt Lively coming up in a matter of moments. By the way, while we have a couple of minutes, you know, my better half is in Paris, France, along
Paris.
With the family.
Oh, really?
Yes. Sorry.
What's your name, Skip?
Thank you. So she just texted me. They're watching in Paris. We're live in Paris as we speak, which is like 2 a.m. out there.
Hey, how are you doing? What's your wife's name? Sorry.
Cecilia.
Cecilia, so nice to meet you. Hey, your man, he's a good guy at times.
Oh, really?
But he was saying some things that we'll talk about. Hey, did he try to feed you a spam sandwich? That's the question.
No, so in all, since we went back to yesterday, we were talking about Thanksgiving, and my mom being from Hawaii, as spam is one of those things.
That, it's a main staple.
What you do. Yeah.
Right.
I mean, she doesn't do it any longer, thank God. I mean,
they got low sodium spam. Because they told me I can't. I got high blood pressure. I get the low. When I go in the supermarket.
You're still eating that stuff.
You better believe it. I get that spam. I fry it. And I'll give me an egg. And I'll fry the egg. And I'll get spam and cheese and some mayo. A little lettuce and onions. And make me a spam sandwich.
And an angioplasty?
Come on. You know. No. Reduce. I got the salt. The one that's it's no salt. Okay? So I'm okay.
Hey, Carter, really quick.
Carter, pork is good for you. Tell him no.
Carter, Thanksgiving, what was on the menu? How are you doing?
A little bit of everything, Dan. Come on. Really? I mean, turkey, ham, you know.
Full spread. I love Carter. Carter,
yeah, you know what he's like?
Offensive tackle.
He yeah,
be,
no doubt.
He's been a tackle. You could have made some money, Carter.
Yeah, does it look like I've been missing many meals? Come on, Dan.
Carter, in all seriousness, with you playing, obviously, the fullback position, this could be our lead guy because this is what you want out of an offensive lineman. Is
he
because
makes
not
plays.
Only is he big, but he played basketball, so you know he can get out on the outside. Because what do you want to be in a, as an offensive lineman? You want to be big, but light on your feet.
Yes,
right?
I want you to play my producer at KPIX, Brian Day. I'm going to suck that up. You think you can handle Day in the paint?
We'll see what happens.
Ooh.
Yeah. Down in the paint, no doubt. Yeah.
Okay,
absolutely.
I'm going to set that up. I'm going to set that up.
All right. Well, in a matter of moments, what time is Matt coming on the show?
Matt's coming on when?
4:15.
All right. We'll talk to Matt coming up. We can say goodbye to Paris and
yes.
Get some sleep out there. Thank you very much. All right. When we continue, as we continue here on 95.7 The Game, Lorenzo Neal and Dan Avone talking about the San Francisco 49ers. And, you know, this is just one of those games that obviously nobody expects the 49ers to win with all the injuries. Brock Purdy is going to get the green light, according to Kyle Shanahan. So he's the one, I guess, bright star in all of this. But in terms of upsets, what has to go right for this 49er team to shock the world, though?
Everything. No, honestly, you have to play. You have to win field position. You have to win field position. You're going to have to win the turnover battle. When you win the turnover battle, 80% of the time you win the turnover battle, you can win. You're not good enough not to win the turnover battle, the 49ers, and still go to Buffalo and win in that environment. You have to win the turnover battle. You have to win field position. And you need to get the red zone going. You have to be prolific in the red zone. You can't be, you can't end up at 20 or 30% in the red zone. You got it. Those numbers have to be. You can't be 10, 15%. Your red zone has to increase dramatically against Buffalo if you're going to win. Special teams, field position, and definitely turn up a battle.
All along, I've heard about the return of Christian McCaffrey means that the 49ers now are going to have windows to throw into. There's going to be some separation because he's going to have that gravitational pull, and now you can't just simply double-team or focus on the Debo Samuels or the Kittles of the world, but now you have to hone in on Christian McCaffrey. He becomes really sort of that other wide receiver, a slot wide receiver, but it simply has not happened, and they have not been able to unlock him in a space where he really sort of owns the rest of the league, that being the red zone. Just Christian McCaffrey, we haven't even really got into him up to this point. What's wrong with him? And more importantly, how do you unlock him so he does what he does best, and that is getting into the end zone within the 20?
Well, I think you have to bring Debo into the backfield, and you have to run Debo on a flare screen, have Debo come over the top, throw the ball to Debo. So now you have Debo on a one-on-one situation. Now you have McCaffrey running underneath that. So the first time you throw it out to Debo, let Debo try to win in space. Second time you fake the throw. Now you hand the ball underneath the Christian McCaffrey. Now you play to make the defense split flow. So if you split the defense, now half the defense is going to have to recover to play Debo. And now if you run the ball with McChristian, now you spread the defense out a little bit better. So now you have the opportunity for Christian to cut back against the grain and be able to get those cuts. But it's all going to start in the trenches. You ask, what do they have to do and what has to go right? You have to win in the trenches and create a new line of scrimmage to get McCaffrey going.
Are you still on board that Jordan Mason needs to see The Rock coming up on Sunday as well as Isaac Garrendo? Or are you just stopping
no,
at Mason?
Garrendo doesn't need to see The Rock. Mason needs to see The Rock. If Mason does not carry the ball, you are not winning this game, period. McCaffrey, yes, he is a game changer. He's unbelievable. He can do it all. Mason is a chain mover. When you're playing in tough conditions and you want to go out there and pound the rock, you put in a Jordan Mason that's going to get you 4 yards in a cloud of dust, and every now and then he'll break you a 20-yard to do that. McCaffrey's the home run hitter, but why let McCaffrey do all that? Let Mason loosen them up, and now you let McCaffrey come out there to lightning and the thunder. So look, McCaffrey starts the game. You're trying to get McCaffrey to the perimeter, but you just haven't been able to do that because it's not McCaffrey. It's the offensive line, the inability to create a new line of scrimmage and get those running lanes created, making the defense cover every blade of grass. And how's that happen? You at the point of attack, you have to get movement and you have to get push for McCaffrey can use his speed. This is a zone, a stretch type of offense. He needs to be able to use his speed to make the defense get moving, for he can get one cut and get north and south. It has not been happening.
What are the most carries you had in a game?
You know what? From the pros, I think it's maybe 20 or so.
Really?
I was leading the league in rushing, baby. Go look at the first 2 weeks in the season. I had a 75-yard script run from scrimmage against the Atlanta Falcons. My first week in the league, we played against the Houston Oilers at the time. I think I had 10 carries for 90 yards. Pull up some tape. You better check my resume. I was shaking and moving. And I was like, they thought I was the next Bettis or Ironhead. Believe it or not, the Saints traded Ironhead Hayward to the Atlanta Falcons.
The University of Pittsburgh.
Yeah, they traded him for your boy Low Daddy, for Low Neil. Baby, I was pretty in the face and slim in the waist, baby. I used to be able to cut on a dime and leave 9 cents change. So what happened was, I broke my ankle the second game of the season just after having about 100 yards in the first half. I was absolutely tearing up the Atlanta Falcons, broke my ankle, and I knew it just never came back the right way. Tore the deltoid ligament. And I remember Jim Mora calls me in his office, one-on-one the next year, and he goes, look, I know you were having a hell of a year running the ball. This is me and him sitting down. And this is when I had so much respect for Jim Moore. And he goes, I know you want to run. I know that's about getting paid. He said, but you're tough. He said, I would go with you in an alley. I know what kind of guy, and I know how tough you are. He said, you got to change your mindset. You can play in this league a long time if you just concentrate on being a great fullback, catch the ball in the backfield, run hard when you get the ball, but honest to God, Lorenzo, start concentrating on being a dominating blocker, and you're going to have a career in this league. I took that advice 17 years later, and I think Jim Moore gave me some great advice.
You know, when I got to Fresno, my first on-air job, so I was remotely...
Fresburg, baby! He was in the blue!
I was remotely familiar with you. Not really. I mean, this is early on. I was just out of college, so this is my first on-air gig.
Right.
This is 95, so okay. You were in the league,
yeah.
Right? And so I remember in Fresno, you were such a big deal.
Yeah,
I used to. There were two guys, because I had a producer
who
was from Fresno, knew Fresno. I was from, a big city. I was from, San Francisco. I didn't know anything about Fresno, except that's where you stopped to, urinate easy, on your way
easy,
to LA.
Easy. I knew something easy. Doghouse Grill, baby. We got the Doghouse Grill. Don't act like you ain't ate up in that club.
So I'm in Fresno, and I remember the producer saying, okay, listen. Lorenzo Neal just did this in a game. We gotta put this in the highlights. There were two guys that I had to put in my highlights and mention, former Fresno State Bulldog.
Yeah.
It was you and Dilfer.
Yeah.
Every week. Had to talk. Are you friends with Dilfer?
Yeah, absolutely. Trim was my quarterback at State. You know? Yeah, he played with me. I was MVP of the team, and he was, runner-up.
Yeah.
Didn't get that whoop, but okay, there we go. I was MVP of the – we played against USC in the Freedom Bowl. I was MVP of that game. Trent was runner-up. But I didn't get the whoop. I'm just doing my own drops right now. But,
yeah, so anyways, I'm telling you, for those of you that are not familiar with Fresno, California, this man is and always was a legend. And until I came along.
Yeah, exactly. And then everyone was running. When I heard about this guy in this town, they were like, man.
You I had a this. Poster on Shaw Street.
Oh, they said
Gottschalks, baby. I used to be on Gottschalks.
Oh, yeah, everyone said the women in town. Hey, it's still hearts that are still broken. I'm glad your wife went back to bed, dude. You were the man there. I heard all about you, baby. All about you.
Has our boy called us back yet?
He's like, someone help me out.
Yeah, thank you very much. Is it time to get Mr. Lively on the line yet?
Working on it.
Yeah, we're going to talk to Matt Lively coming up from KPIX. By the way, don't forget, that's where you can see my man Low every Sunday. Pre and post?
Post.
Post-game show with the one and only Vernon Glenn breaking down the San Francisco 49ers. And this week, it's a date with the Buffalo Bills. By the way, they go into that game more than a touchdown underdog. I just had a question for you. As a player, obviously, you guys can't do this.
You look at it, yes.
Are you familiar with it?
Absolutely.
Really?
You always look at it. You're like, man, oh, this is what they think about us? Don't forget that. Yeah, of course.
All right. Without further ado, let's get to Matt Lively from KPIX. He joins us now. Matt, what's going on? How are you?
What's up, guys? Thanks for having me on. Happy belated Thanksgiving and Black Friday and maybe the last few remnants of days before the 49ers season ends.
So we say happy Black Friday now?
What's up with Black, Matt? I mean, what's going on, buddy?
Oh, boy, here we go.
Yes, you thought something else? You thought it was going to change? You thought it was changing? Man, what do you mean? Happy Black Friday. What's happening, bro?
I just hope you're getting all your savings and your deals. Right. That's all I mean.
Matt Lively joining us from the CBS affiliate here in San Francisco. Of course, you can catch him obviously throughout the week doing his sportscast and also with Lowe. Say it again, Carter. Oh, he's our River Islands on the River Island guest line, Matt Lively. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop, as Matt Lively joins us once again. Matt, really quick, just were you there with Kyle Shanahan, or is this, can you give us sort of the latest and detail us as what's going on with their starting quarterback, Brock Purdy, and the latest info concerning him and his availability coming up on Sunday against the Bills?
Yeah, I hopped in virtually today instead of making the trip down to Santa Clara. But the latest here is, I mean, there's good and bad news. Brock Purdy is going to play. Shanahan said if he's playing, he's healthy. So you have to assume that his shoulder is good to go. Missed last week's game in Green Bay. Charvarius Ward coming back. You know, tragic loss of his daughter. So it'll be really nice to see Mooney back on the field in this one. But such a major concern when you look at the rest of this injury list. The fact that they are going to be without Trent Williams and Aaron Banks, you just lost the entire left side of your line. They will be without Nick Bosa, and we saw how that went last week as Josh Jacobs did whatever he wanted to do to the defensive line. And they will be without Diamador Lenore. He had a banged knee. They're calling it more of a quad contusion. I'm pretty concerned about what's going to happen on Sunday. This team is already, you know, teetering. It has not looked good the last 2 weeks. They really haven't had a good win in the last 6 weeks. You'd have to go back to that first game against Seattle. And now you are going to Buffalo in the snow, a rabid fan base, and a Bills team that's playing pretty good football. It could get ugly on Sunday night.
Matt, I totally understand and totally couldn't disagree with you. So when you look at the Niners, though, and you say, what is it going to take outside of a, you know, a miracle? What do they have to do? If the Niners are going to have a fighting chance, they're, you know, over a touchdown underdogs, what are they going to have to do to make this a game or to possibly pull up the biggest upset of the year?
Their defense has to get it together, first and foremost. I mean, there's been a lot of crying about Nick Sorensen in the last few weeks, and I don't think all of it is actually merited, but it's been tough when you watched what happened last week, how they couldn't get any pressure, how running backs are doing whatever they want against San Francisco right now, and it doesn't get any easier when you're without Nick Bosa and Diamador Lenore, so I'm not even quite sure that can happen. Offensively, it goes back with Christian McCaffrey. He was the reason that this 49ers offense was so good last year. They could do so much with him. In the red zone where they've struggled all season, he's a nightmare for defenses because they can do so many different things and create so many different looks because of McCaffrey. But he has obviously not looked himself the last few weeks like we were accustomed to seeing him last year. The Bills have allowed 3 100-yard rushers this entire season in 11 games. So can that happen, especially without Trent Williams and Aaron Banks? I'm not so sure. I mean, those would be my keys, but again, I don't know if that's a possibility at this point.
Matt Lively joins us here on 95.7 The Game on the River Islands guest line. And Matt, really quick, you know, you're with the team, you follow the team, you travel the team. If you're just to sort of capsulize where they're at as far as the personality, now it's a veteran-laden squad, but you know, losing is something that's sort of foreign to Kyle Shanahan as well as Kittle and all those foundational pieces. Where are they at as far as if you were to sort of generalize the overall personality of this squad right now?
It seems a lot different from last year, and it hasn't felt like last year in a really long time. And it's funny because we asked that question. You know, that's a classic question that you ask when you get in there on Wednesday. What's the vibe around the locker room? And these guys will tell you, yeah, it's great. You know, nothing's changed. I don't buy it. I have, you know, seen Fred Warner and Christian McCaffrey sit at their lockers and stare out in space. You know, you see that these guys have been dejected after some of the losses that they've had. I mean, it's a shock, right? You come off the season that you did last year. You know, forget the Super Bowl. Think about what they did in the regular season. They were dominant. There was a game against Baltimore that went the other way a season ago. But other than that, you know, they played a lot of tight games in the ones that they lost, and then they blew out opponents in the ones that they won. They were putting up almost 30 points a game in those wins. This time around, even when they win, you know, outside of the New York win and the Seattle win, it's been tight games and ones that they've tried to give away. And so the vibe around this locker room is a much different feel. And it's honestly felt like that since the preseason when there were holdouts from Trent Williams and Brandon Ayuk. Then you get to week one, it's like, okay, well, now Christian McCaffrey's not going to play. This is a bit odd. And then things just started to snowball from there. And so the personality of this this team right now is, I would say, one of shock. Because when you come off a season like you did in 2023, this is the last thing you would have expected.
Matt, you look at defense, 11th against the run, 6th against the pass, 6th in total overall defense, offense, 4th in total offense, 7th run, averaging 350 yards plus, scoring 13, red zone, 25th, with tied with 4 other teams. Is that the biggest problem? Was that the biggest thing that jumps out to you when I just gave you those numbers that says this team should be better because of those stats?
Absolutely. I mean, and you think about where those stats stem from. It comes from the players that are on the field. This team is loaded with all pros. I always kind of laugh when it's like, God, Kittle's going to miss this week. Or, this guy's out this week. Well, thank God they still have 8 other all pros on the field. They're not playing up to their standard. They're not playing up to their expectations. And then that's where you do have to question the coaching a little bit of, are they being put in the right positions, especially on defense? Because there's been a massive regression there. There's no Dre Greenlaw, and that is a major part. And then we find out this week that Fred Warner has been playing on a fractured ankle since September. So, the middle of your defense, immediately, that jumps off the page at you. Hargrave's been out. In the secondary, you thought Hufanga was going to be back. Now you're starting Malik Mustafa at safety. You're starting Renardo Green at corner. So that's probably where there are breakdowns in this defense right now. But there are still so many all pros that just aren't playing up to their standard. And so it's confusing to watch. You enter every week and you go, okay, they still have, for the most part, this core. But it's just so different.
Matt, where are you from?
I'm from Florida. I grew up watching the Buccaneers, so Lowe Neal's former team. So I am, I'm surprised that this is happening to the Niners, but I feel at home watching this.
Well, you're not going to feel at home in Buffalo. So my next question is, what the hell are you packing for the weekend?
Thankfully and unthankfully, I am not traveling to Buffalo this weekend.
Wow.
And I was bummed in the beginning of the year when this wasn't a CBS game and I wouldn't be on the road. But as I look at this forecast, I go, okay, I'm okay with that. I will be in Miami, which is the next road game after this one, and I'm okay with that because it's going to be much warmer in December down in South Beach.
Any idea if San Francisco is altering things or changing things up as far as practice in terms of preparing for playing in the snow?
Nothing more than the ordinary, and I think that's tough when you're practicing in Santa Clara and it gets into the 50s, they move their practice time up, or at least they practice at a typical time on Wednesday, but they had more media availability on Wednesday. And so guys might've gotten in there earlier, but they practiced on Thursday. It was a regular practice time today. I think it's hard to replicate, a winter storm when you're playing in California and you're practicing in California. And maybe we can point to last week where it didn't snow in Green Bay, but it was cold. And if that's how they played in cold weather, and now we're going to add in some precipitation, I'm very worried.
Matt, final question for you. Around the league and around football talk, there's been a discussion. Deebo Sanders, what is your take? Have you seen, is it scheme? Is it player? What have you seen and what have you noticed?
I think when you take Brandon Ayuk out of the equation, a lot of defense have to laser in on BA on the outside as a deep threat. And you take him off the field, and for a large portion of the season, there was no Christian McCaffrey either. And maybe you can just target Deebo more. And when we ask,
whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Ask him, hey, the numbers are down. What's going on this season? He doesn't want to talk. He hasn't really had any answer for the media as to why this is happening. Is he injured? It doesn't seem like it. He had issues earlier in the year, but when we ask him, he hasn't come forward, kind of like Fred Warner didn't say, well, hey, I'm playing with a broken ankle. Deebo has not come forward like that to say anything about his injuries or if they're still lingering with him. But he looks as explosive as he has in the past when he does have the ball in his hands, but we've seen drops this year that we don't typically see of Deebo Samuel. And we see that maybe defenses have just started to figure out this Kyle Shanahan offense, and there hasn't been a lot of adapting to that. And so Debo's been a victim of that. And, you know, when you look at the numbers, it's hard to justify what he's getting paid this year versus the output.
Matt Lively, we got to run. But really quick, just a shout out to your boss and a guy who's been in this market since, what, the 1950s, Vern Glenn? Does Vern Glenn ever age? What's his secret to life?
He doesn't age. I believe that he goes home and he has a chamber in his home. he sits there and it beautifies him every night.
Well, we all need to get in that thing. He's a beautiful man, as are you. We'll all be watching Matt Lively and, of course, Low Coat up this week. Hey, Matt, thanks for the time, buddy.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, this segment is sponsored by the San Francisco International Airport, and we'll be back. It's Dan Avone and Low Neal here on 95.7 The Game.
Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back to 95.7 The Game. Alongside Lorenzo Neal, this is Dan Devone. As we get you ready for coming up on Sunday, the San Francisco 49ers, of course, take on the Buffalo Bills. Don't forget right here on 95.7 The Game. Tomorrow, the Golden State Warriors try and snap a three-game losing streak as they do battle with the Phoenix Suns. We'll see you back here tomorrow morning. That'll be my man Evan Giddings and myself doing a Warriors this week as Golden State looks to get back to their winning ways against a good Phoenix Sun team with Bradley Beal and Kevin Durant and company and, of course, Mr. Booker. All that straight ahead. And we can get a little baseball if we want to. If you want to talk, I can't do Blake Snell signing all that money, go to the Dodgers. That just pains me. One thing I did want to just to kick around, and we can get into there's a connective tissue to the San Francisco 49ers. But the NFC and the landscape of the NFC right now, the two games that were played on Turkey Day, you know, we've talked about one of them. The other, which, and of course, Minnesota was the Chicago Bear game, which resulted in the firing of their head coach, Matt Eberflus, who didn't use the timeout. And then again, as I read out loud his comments after the game, which were just as egregious.
Oh, gosh.
So he's gone as a head coach. We talked about that game. The other of which are those Green Bay Packers. Now, you know, I poke fun at Tua Tagovailoa because you can't dink and dunk in cold water. I don't believe, just like Brock Purdy, Purdy has got to at some point, even if you're not a strong on quarterback, you just got to reach down and let her go. I think that's the only way to throw a football and win in cold weather, which certainly is what he's going to be dealing with on Sunday against the Buffalo Bills in beautiful Buffalo. But just getting back to Green Bay, the team that thumped San Francisco, and I mean, you don't see a Kyle Shanahan coach team very often be on the short end of a game that was where you were manhandled. And the Packers are doing what it is that they did a year ago. And that is, you know, though you know this, that you can be good in August and September, but as I like to say, when you got to bust out those gloves and throw on the parka for the first time during the winter season, that's when you want to be hitting your stride. That's when you want to be peaking. They did it last year, and it looks as though Green Bay could be the danger on the outside, especially in that competitive NFC North.
The North is the best in football. When you think about where the NFC North, when you think about Minnesota, Green Bay, and the Lions, you got three teams, I got the Bears on the line, who was just right there, who just lost some games. They just don't have the gravitas yet. They don't know how to win. But yeah, I think Green Bay, if you look at their team as a whole right now, the way that they're playing, I was quoted saying, I think, you know, the Lions are the best team in the NFC, maybe the best team in football. I think they would have been. But too many injuries. I think the injury bug is going to force this offense to have to score even more. And it's tough because Aaron Glenn, a personal friend, played with him with the Jets, the DC. I just think that his cupboard's getting bare. You got to be lucky. When you're playing in the playoffs, especially this time of the year when the playoffs are right around the corner, you got to have players and you got to play great defense. And you're the Lions right now without your best pass rusher, arguably top three or four pass rushers in the league.
Hutchinson, yeah.
Absolutely. Just lost some corners and safeties and a lot of injuries.
Anzalone lost linebacker.
Yeah. So it's going to be tough. So I think right now you look at Green Bay, they're playing good defense. They can run the ball. Their quarterback is coming into his own.
Yeah.
I like what they're doing. Minnesota's right there. So when you think about those three teams, hell, it's not Tampa Bay. It's not going to compete. And then, of course, you have the Niners and the Rams and Cardinals battling for that spot. But those are the three teams that you look at and you say, wow, either three of these teams, those three teams, they're going to be representing the NFC, in my opinion, in a Super Bowl.
The Vikings might be the most disrespected team right now when you think about, you know, a team that's got a record at, what are the Vikings, 9-2.
9-2.
9-2.
They're right there. And that's why they're not going to take their foot off the pedal. And that's why you look at Detroit and you look at the way that Green Bay, all these teams are still fighting for the number one seed in the NFC.
Yeah.
And if you think about it, all these teams saying, if we played at home, we got a best chance to win. And I think Green Bay, next week, they're playing Lions on deck. And I'm going to take Green Bay. I think Green Bay is going to beat the Lions. The way they're playing football, the style of way they're playing football, collectively, offense, defense, and special teams, I like Green Bay in that game.
Well, think about the Lions. They're 11-1, and you would think, well, 11-1. Well, we can, you know, we're okay. They have no room to put their to let their guard down. If you stub your toe once, you've got the Vikings are a game back,
right?
And then you've got the Packers. We talked about two games back. 11-1 don't mean anything out there in the North.
No.
You're not. We talked about potentially if the 49ers could catch the Lions when the Lions are resting starters. If you're to look at the way it's stacked up currently, that's not going to be the case because they're fighting for their playoff, not their playoff lives, but certainly
number
for the
one
number
seed.
One seed. Yeah.
Oh, without a doubt. And that's the thing that you're looking at. And this is going to go down to the wire. This is too quick. It's too hard to take your foot off the gas for all these teams. And that's why it's so important with the Niners to try to find a way to win, just to backdoor try to win, because you're in a conference that's very weak. And so you have an opportunity still at only 5 wins. You have a chance to sneak in. But you look at Green Bay, the way that Jacobs is running the ball, when you think about Jacob, how he's running the ball, how downhill, the way they're getting him in the passing game, running the quick screens to him. And there's a team we haven't even talked about. We haven't even talked about a team. Think about those teams we just talked about. Those are the three. What about the Philadelphia Eagles? The Philadelphia Eagles and Saquon Barkley, what he brought to the Philadelphia, and you have Vic Fangio, defensive DC, defensive coordinator, who was a coach also, had been a head coach, been a DC for many years, was my DC when I played with the Saints, but love Vic Fangio, what he does as far as defensive front. You see what he did with the Niners, all them great years, Fangio. So now you have a Philadelphia Eagle team that is running the ball probably better than Green Bay. So Green Bay is right there, but Philadelphia, big test for them this week against Baltimore. Can't wait to see that game either. But the NFC, to me, they're just loaded.
All right, let's get back to the San Francisco 49ers, and our man Carter's got some updated news. 95.7
The Game. Breaking news. Do a mini breaking news there because it's not a huge deal, but a lot of Niners fans will probably be pleased to hear that the Niners have waived wide receiver Ronnie Bell.
Ronnie Bell, no longer a member of the San Francisco 49ers.
Yeah. Did they activate someone, or are they going to bring someone in? Because he was a guy that, you know, they activated him a couple of times this year. You saw this guy, you know, he was bounced around a practice squad. Bell, you know,
special teams guy,
you know, had some crucial drops at certain times. But they try to stick with him. But it's interesting to see what they're doing. Are they going to go out and bring another defensive lineman in to get some depth on that defensive line? Or are you going to go out and bring in some offense? Because I think if you're going to bring someone in, I think you need to bring someone in the trenches if you're going to open up a roster spot.
Well, speaking of the wide receivers and rookies, I asked you about Caleb Williams. How do you assess Ricky Pearsall to this point? Because he had the breakout game against Dallas, and suddenly, okay, wow, we can count on this guy, and then suddenly he was nowhere to be found against Green Bay.
Yeah, Green Bay was just tough to get any type of rhythm going offensively and schematically, you know, with some consistency. So I think that you look at Ricky Pearsall and you think about how he's able to catch the ball. He can separate. He's a good route runner. And the injury this year, you know, really kind of put him behind the eight ball, unfortunately, what happened to him downtown. But when you think about this guy. He does, Rick, he knows how to run routes. He knows how to create distance. I think he's going to be a good receiver. He is going to be a good receiver, but it's like, how are they going to focus on him? Is he going to be the playmaker? Does he need to step up and be a playmaker? No, he just needs to make plays and stay consistent. And the opportunity is going to come. And I think this week, when you have Purdy playing, Purdy will, you know, he's not afraid to share the ball if you can get open. And I think this is a guy that can get open.
We are presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. And Valvoline Instant Oil Change is your 15-minute drive-through oil change. Visit their expert technicians to check fluids, the tire pressure, windshield wipers, batteries, and more. Safe holiday travel starts at Valvoline Instant Oil Change. Location and coupons at BayAreaOilChange.com. BayAreaOilChange.com. All right, we're going to continue here on 95.7 The Game with my man Lorenzo Neal. As we talk about the 49ers as well as the rest of the NFL, I want to take you around the National Football League. We talked about, you know, how dangerous the NFC is and Philadelphia Eagles. I want to get, I know it's early, but I want you to give me a team coming out of the AFC and a team coming out of the NFC. We'll do all that and more. We continue right after this.
Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
It is Lorenzo Neal. It is Dan Devone on this Friday. A happy Friday to all of you. It's just absolutely picturesque here in San Francisco, California, and throughout the Bay Area. What's it like out in Fresno? What are you guys doing out there? Has the Thule fog set in yet?
You know, it hasn't. We haven't got enough rain yet. We still get some fog every now and then, but usually when that Thule fog comes in, in January and February, it's you can barely see in front of you.
I've dealt with that.
It's dangerous out there.
You know, earlier in the show, we were talking to Steve Tasker, the standout.
Yeah.
Well, he was a wide receiver, but a standout special teams player, and of course, a former Buffalo Bill. So we talked to him about Buffalo and obviously what it is that the 49ers are going to have to deal with in terms of that fan base and the elements. We also talked about the 49ers and their struggles as far as special teams are concerned. He said it's not necessarily always about the physical.
To me, the Niners look like it's from the neck up. You know, I think it looks like to me it's from the neck up. And I don't know what it would take. I don't know the pulse of the 49ers at all, but that, I think Kyle Shanahan needs to, I think I would put it on him to do some soul searching and find a message that gets them over that mental hump or shakes the cobwebs out, whatever analogy you want to use. I think it's between their ears. And, you know, I think it's up to Kyle Shanahan to figure out what message he can come up with, what tactic he can use. Maybe it's his leaders. Maybe he needs to sit them down. Maybe it's the other end of the roster. Maybe he needs to elevate some of the lesser players and give them a shot at it. Whatever it needs to be, something needs to shake loose a locker room that's in a little bit of a malaise and just can't figure out or can't remember who they are.
How about that? He was talking about special teams, but you could take that a step further as far as the team as a collective. But just relegating it to special teams, does it get to a point, just like anything else, where you expect bad things to happen?
Yeah, and it's mental. And like you said, it's above the shoulders, you know, and it's the mental attitude and it's the mental preparation, what you're doing. And he said, hey, you know, maybe Shanahan needs to grab someone and shake it up and do whatever. And I think he's probably spoke to the teams, but I think action speaks louder than words. So what do you do if you're a head coach? And what are some of the things that I would probably do if I'm looking at the outside, looking in and knowing, you know, Football Planet for a while, as long as I did, what'd be something I do? I would get my guys to just, on Friday night or Saturday night before, you know, instead of having the team meeting, of course you have the team meeting, you go over your plays, do what you're going to talk about, your dirty dozen. But I would end that meeting with all plays. I would end it with all the highlights that you had this year. Say, I want to see this guy, and have Debo, showing Debo running over guys, showing Debo making big plays, showing Kittle, showing Fred Warner, showing guys that are on that defense, Mustafa, showing guys, hey, this is who we are. This is what we're capable of. I think those guys, and that's what he's talking about, just to reassure guys, man, you can play. When you're playing well, you are still one of the dominating teams. Show Purdy having success. Show the receivers. Show the guys that are having success. Show, you know, Jennings, third and Jennings, taking over a game. That's what I would do. I was like, look, I'm not going to talk about it. I just want you guys to watch this. I'm going to let what you guys have done already. The hay's already in the barn. I'm going to let this film speak for me, because you've had some hell of plays this year and years. So let guys know what they're capable of. And maybe that's something that you could do to spark your team.
Has there ever been a coach, or can you recall, because everybody wants the fire and brimstone speech. Everybody wants to be Newt Rockne and fire up your team before a game, or commiserate your team after a loss. Has there been a moment, whether it be before a game or at halftime, where a coach specifically gave you some sort of a rah-rah talk that you took to the field and it translated in a win?
Yeah, you've had some great speeches before from coaches, and it translated. You know, you get tears in your eyes and they get you fired up. Those are things, are great halftime speeches that you have.
But is that theater, or does that really translate to anything?
I think it can be both, but it's got to come from within. So that's why I'm saying I'm not, yeah. When you're saying that, I'm not, nothing just came to mind that made us win a game. And that's why it's got to be the play. And that's why when you're like, hey guys, I can't get you out of this, you guys got to do it. I'm going to call the play. You guys got to go execute. So until each guy can look at himself and say, guess what? Fred Warner looks at guys and say, I'm not going to let you lose. Until Debo look at Brock Purdy and say, Brock, I'm not going to let you lose today. Where Trent tells, you know, hey, I'm not going to let you lose. Those are the things that has to happen from within. And that's what Tasker's talking about. It's where guys are going to have to hold themselves accountable, because coaches can do so much of the rah-rah, but after the first play, you know what? That rah-rah is out the door. Guys have to hold each other accountable and do their job and do it at a high level. That's how you solve problems. Guys can't have that doubt. When doubt creeps in, someone's like, no, not today. When someone's having that doubt, that's when Mustafa says, guess what? Put it on me. I'm going to go pick this one off. Okay, that's going to happen. That's when, you know, Fred goes in there, strips the ball, pulls out a fumble, and you pick it up, scoop and score, and take it 80 yards. Those are those moments that you say, somebody has to make a play. Somebody has to step up and make a play. That's how you turn around this season. It's got to be, guys have to say, I'm committed. I'm going to sell out, and I'm going to turn this. I am going to do something extraordinary, but I'm going to do it in the confines. I'm going to do it playing my gap. I'm going to do it playing with the integrity of the defense. I'm not going to go freelance. I'm not going to go run out of my lane to go make a play. I'm going to do it when he comes into my hole, when he's coming to the integrity of my spot. I'm going to hit him. I'm going to strip the ball. I'm going to do something that is going to spark this team to turn it around. That's how it happens. It's not, it's organic. It doesn't come by the coach.
Baby, I could play for you. You know,
there you go, baby. Let's go. Let's go, baby.
You know, one of those coaches that I think, because I think a lot of it is just, you know, it's scheme. You want to know a coach is smart. He's relatable, as we talked about, being a player's coach, having that respect, which is something that you have to have buy-in. But I think if there's one coach that maybe actually lights the proverbial fire under his team's ass, it might be Dan Campbell. I saw a clip of Dan Campbell after they had the worst record in the NFL, and it was his first year as a head coach. And there was no doubt in his mind and the look in his eye that we are going to turn this around. He says, we need to start from a base level. It's about tackling. It's about playing football with an attitude. He says, in 2 years, we are going to be a team to be reckoned with. There was no hesitation in his message right from Jump Street. When that, if you recall, he inherited a bad team, and he was losing that first year. But his message was very clear from day one. I just happened to see that, I think, on my social media. Somebody sent it on Instagram, and I'm like, wow. Because 2 years later, here they are.
Buy-in. It's called buy-in. And you're talking about a man that played the game, that's been on winning teams, that's been on losing teams. Dan Campbell, he can talk from experience and speak from a place of authority, and people buy in. When Dan Campbell is making those statements, I've sat and watched some of his interviews and sat and watched, you know, Hard Knocks and where he goes out and talks to the team. He said, guys, this was one of our worst practices. He said, only reason I'm making you guys practice this way, because football is about tackling. It's about hitting. That's what football is. He said, so if I don't have you guys tackle, but he said, not full tackle all the way to the ground. He said, but wrap up technique. He goes, if I can get you guys to do that, I promise you guys, I'm not trying to hurt you. I'm not trying to be a butthead. I am trying to make we win. And if you buy into what I'm saying, and I just watch those guys around him, he goes, this is not winning. Today we did not win. If you guys can commit to what I'm trying to teach you, and that's fundamentally going out there and being mentally strong when I don't want to be. Going out there instead of just tagging the guy, square up and say, I'm going to do this because I know this is what I need to do for the order for my team to come together. He does a great job to get guys to buy in, and that's what's been in success for him.
Let me do the ID really quick. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ, FM, and HD1 San Francisco. In Odyssey Sports Station, always live with the free Odyssey app, Twitch, and YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union for a low-rate auto loan. Apply online. CR, just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer. You know, we talk about the Detroit Lions. Here's my only knock on Detroit. And listen, shout out Marin Catholic and the University of California. Go Bears. My sisters went to the University of California. I unfortunately couldn't get in. So I went to the University of Arizona and just drank for 4 years.
There you go.
But when nice. You think about Jared Goff, who, and I love the story that he got over on the Los Angeles Rams after being disrespected, and the story of him being able to have this reclamation project out there in Detroit. But do you trust him in, first of all, a big game? We talked about, if it's, I was joking at the beginning of the show, I said if it's below 70 degrees, then McDaniel and the Miami Dolphins aren't even getting on the bus or the flight to go play because, you know, we'll take the loss. I'm worried about the Detroit Lions when they have to play in the real elements, not in a dome, outside. And the other thing is he's such a pupil and a benefactor of Butch Johnson, who I think has replaced maybe Kyle Shanahan as the most innovative coach in the NFL right now when it comes to schematics and schemes and in offenses, specifically in that NFC. And he can put it on guys when you draw it up. But you know this, Lo, that there comes a time when you get into a game and it's a 2-minute drill or 4 minutes, whatever, and you're down and it's the schemes may not be working. It's a postseason game. Can we put it on you anyways? Can you just, they know you're going to throw, you're down. Can you take us home? Can Jared Goff be that guy?
You know what's interesting? If you'd asked me this 7-8 years ago when he was with the Rams, I'd have told you, heck no, hell no, he's not going to do it. And you saw him against, when they played against New England Patriots, wasn't able to do it, had opportunities and couldn't do it. Guess what? He didn't think he could do it, but his coaches, his players, and everyone in that locker room didn't think he can do it. And guess what? It translated to the field because everyone said, Jared Goff's on a great team with Rams, and he's just can't lose games because their defense, they were running the ball, they did everything right. They said, Jared can't have to win games, he just needs to go manage.